Thank you very much. Great. Well, the story is told of a young woman whose parents disapproved so strongly of her decision to marry a certain young man that they disowned her. Almost weekly, this estranged daughter would send letters, writing letters to her parents, letters filled with expressions of love and pleas for reconciliation. But never once in those 10 long years in which she wrote almost weekly, did she ever receive a reply from her parents. Then one day, that daughter received a big box in the mail. And when she opened it, to her crushing disappointment, she found inside every letter that she had ever sent, unopened, returned to her by her parents. That daughter was the great author Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And today, her letters are considered great masterpieces of classic English literature. But unfortunately, the people for whom they were written, her parents, never read those letters, not a single one. What a tragedy. Most of us are probably thinking right about now, how horrible! What sort of a parent, what sort of a person would ever do such a thing to somebody that they are supposed to love? And yet, folks, let me tell you, it happens all the time. And even happens with us, with God. You see, God has written a book using human authors, a book we call the Bible, this precious collection of letters, we could say. He has written it to us, to you. And when we neglect this book, when we leave it on the shelf collecting dust, we do what Elizabeth Barrett Browning did to her daughters, their daughters' letters. Today, I want to take just a few moments to talk with you about reading your Bible on a daily basis. The Bible is God's holy word, His written communication, His love letter to you. Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, quoted scripture. And one of the quotations that he gave, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, from the book of Deuteronomy, it is written, Jesus said to the devil, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, you don't just need physical food to live. You need spiritual food. And that food to live, according to Jesus himself, is the Word of God. You need it to live. Now, if you struggle with reading your Bible, and you're starting to feel guilty right about now, I've got some good news for you. In January, as you learn from Chris's little promo there, wasn't that good? Wasn't that a good promo? This guy is such a gifted young man. Well, as you learn from that, we're going to be going through the New Testament in 2009. I call the New Testament God's latest bestseller. It's the latest thing he's written. And it's been on the bestseller list almost the whole time since it's been written. His first bestseller, of course, is what we went through, or we're still going through this year, the Old Testament. And we're just finishing up that study in the Old Testament. And here on Sunday mornings and in our small groups, and hopefully in your daily personal experience, we are going to be going through the New Testament in 2009. And so our main idea today, if you're taking notes, and I sure hope you are, you want to get your outline out and just scribble a few things down on there. The main idea, the one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else that I say, is this. Bravo. Journey through the New Testament at Stony Creek Church in 2009. That's our main idea. Today I want to share with you just a few practical points for how you can make the most of the New Testament journey, how it can be a growing and very meaningful experience for you and make a positive difference in your life. Just a few quick points to apply here. Number one, first, read through the New Testament in 2009. Read through it on your own. Look at what Job said in Job 23, verse 12. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Job said, reading the Word of God, feeding on God's Word is more important than eating to me. Now, sometimes people will say, well, I'm just too busy to read the Word. Well, are you too busy to eat? Why not skip a meal and read the Word instead? It's that important, folks. And now, not only can you read it, we all have copies of the Bible, but now you have a copy there on CD for your iPod or M3P or whatever it is. You can use that on your computer. And there's so many resources today, there just isn't any excuse for us not to get into the Word of God. We're going to hand out a schedule that you can read along, and it's only about a chapter a day, and we'll even give you the weekends off so you can either catch up or do a little more extra study. So the first point to apply is read through in 2009. The second thing is sharpen up your scripture study. Sharpen it up. Look what Ecclesiastes 10:10 says. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. Sharpen the blade. How can you sharpen the blade? You know, if you're using that sharp axe, you're gonna use less energy to cut the same amount of wood as you would if you had the dull axe, and you'd have to use so much more energy. Well, there are certain tools you should have in your Bible study tool chest. First, in your Bible study tool chest, you need a good modern translation of the Bible so that you can understand it, for crying out loud. Bible can be tough enough to understand without using a good modern translation. So why not use one and make it as clear as it can be? I recommend the New International Version, the NIV, or the New Living Translation. Both are excellent translations among the many good translations that are available today. And by the way, when you buy books, you can go on Amazon.com and get a significant discount, or go over and support the Family Christian Stores right over there by Lakeside Mall. A second thing you should have in your Bible study tool chest is a good study Bible. A study Bible. A study Bible is a Bible that has all kinds of notes at the bottom of the page that are written by scholars that help explain difficult terms, ancient customs, and the historical setting and background of the passage that you're reading. Here's an example of the New Living Study Bible. I know you can't read it, but you can see that there's maps, sometimes on the same page, that are provided right as you read it. And you find out, you know, what's going on in the whole historical context as you read the Bible. It's like having a Bible atlas, a Bible dictionary, and a Bible commentary all together between, you know, the two covers of your Bible. I recommend the New Living Study Bible. Just came out a few weeks ago, actually. It's excellent, excellent. 25,000 notes in that thing. Or the NIV Study Bible. Both are Excellent, excellent. If you don't have one, why not get one for, ask for one for Christmas or get someone else one for Christmas. The third point to apply, improve your attendance. Improve your attendance at church. One church I passed on the road had a sign that said this, what's missing in this? You are. You put the you are and you've got church. You are missing. All right. Well, if you are a born-again Christian, you have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you invited Him in to be your Savior and Lord, well, then you need to be in church on Sunday mornings. And also, get in your small group and fellowship there and learn together. You know, this is one of the critical aspects of our New Testament journey this year, is going to be learning together here on Sunday morning at 9:15, at 11 o'clock. I'm going to be doing some New Testament characters. That's what I'm planning to do, and it should be good and exciting for us. The children are going to be going through this stuff. Get your kids into this so that they can get a good sweep of the New Testament, and the youth at the 9:15 classes. Are you part of a small group? If you're not, check out the stuff back there on that table. There's a display back there of groups and when they meet and who leads them and how you can get plugged into one. Or you can check that out on our website. Look what it says in Hebrews 10:25. It says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. How often do you miss church? How often are you here on Sunday morning? Is it 2 times out of a month? 3 times out of a month? 4 times out of a month? You know, I think we miss church too much. Not just here, but it's an epidemic across this country. Some people actually go shopping on Sunday morning. Instead of coming to church, be here together, for us to get into the Word together, for us to fellowship and serve and give and share the Lord's Supper together. Though all of these things are so important. The fourth thing to apply, I'm rushing because I got some important things we got to get to at the end. The fourth point to apply is live what you learn. Live what you learn. Look at what James says in James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. You're going to need to help me out here. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Folks, the biggest objection to Christianity is not Christ, but Christian hypocrites. Isn't it true? People out in the world say, you know, Jesus, I can take him, but it's just Christians that I have a problem with. And, you know, we have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, folks. The more you know, the more you're responsible to behave like Jesus Christ. And so expect as we learn and as we study the New Testament together on Sunday mornings and in our small groups, expect to be challenged to change your life, to change your attitudes, to love God more, to love your neighbor more, to forsake sinful attitudes and thoughts and practices. Expect to be challenged and expect it to be sometimes uncomfortable. Because you know something, folks? When Jesus Christ comes into our lives, He always requires change, and change can often be very uncomfortable. He can call us out of our comfort zone because He wants us to follow Him. And that can be sometimes painful. Folks, Has God's book of letters been neglected in your life? Are there still parts of this glorious book that you've never read? Well, let's not treat God's word the way Elizabeth Barrett Browning's parents treated her letters. Let's get into it. Let's treasure this great book. And we can treasure it not only by reading it and learning it and believing it, but applying it and obeying it in our daily lives. And you know what's going to happen as a result of that? We're going to be more fulfilled. We're going to have more joy and peace in our lives as we do the right thing, hard as it may be, as we do the right thing, as we journey through the New Testament together. Well, as a living illustration of passion for God's Word, I want you to hear from a young couple that's with us here today. One of them is certainly not new to us because he grew up here at Stony Creek Church. I'm talking about Dave and Alex Redford. Come on up, Dave and Alex. I guess it's just Dave. Okay, well, Alex is down here, and she's got little Andrew. He was just born a few months ago, so she's sitting there in the front row. Why don't you just stand up and show everybody a little Andrew? Maybe Andrew can wave. There he is. All right. Good. Well, welcome. These two are going to Africa. They're raising money to go to Africa, and he's going to tell you all about it. And what are they going there for? They are going there so that they can learn the language in Chad, the nation of Chad, learn the language so that they can help with literacy and Bible translation. So, Dave, welcome, and tell us about your ministry. Absolutely. Well, how about this? There you go.
Well, it's good to be back here, and it's good to see so many familiar faces. Alex and I both have felt called to missions for quite a number of years now. And, you know, as we thought, what would the Lord have us do and where would we go? We went to the Word of God, and first we thought, well, what does missions even mean? Like, what is this whole missions thing? And that takes us to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So what is a disciple? How do we make a disciple? Well, it says that we're supposed to baptize them, which means we've preached the gospel to them and they have made a profession of Christ. But I had this skewed version of what missions was because I thought that when you're a missionary out wherever you are, that's what you did. You preached the gospel. And after you did that, you were like, okay, I'm done. We'll go tell somebody else the gospel and we'll go tell somebody else the gospel. And I totally neglected the second half of the verse, which says that we should teach them to observe all that he's commanded us. So that's how we make disciples. We do preach the good news, but we forget about that second part. And what is a real disciple? A disciple is someone who is following Christ and who is growing in Christ. And I ask, how do we know the doctrines of Christ? It was good to hear Pastor Andy say everything that he just did because it's basically everything that's on my heart. As you guys consider starting this new study, you say you're going to go to the Word of God and you're going to spend deeper time in the Word of God so that you grow in your knowledge of Christ. And yet, as we look around the world, there are over 200 million people who have not a single verse of Scripture. And I don't mean they don't have a chapter, I don't mean they don't have a book, but not even a single verse of Scripture. And so are some of these people Christians? Some of them probably have had Christ preach to them, but how are they going to do what you're about to do and try and get deeper in the Word and to grow more and to be more sanctified? Well, they could rely on the missionary. They could rely on the person that preached to them the gospel, and they could say, well, what does the Bible say about this, and this, and this, and this, and this? But we're told in the Word, in Acts 17, Paul gives us a great example. He preaches the gospel to the Bereans, and they don't just take it at face value, but they go to the Word to see if what he was saying is so. And what happens when that person leaves, if they're stuck relying on somebody? Do they, 100 years from now, say, we used to have the truth. We used to know about God and Christ, but it's just a myth now in our village. It's not true anymore because the person who brought it to us, he's gone. And so this is the great burden that God's put on us, is the desire to have other people have the Word in a language that they understand. So for us, what does that look like? Well, we've got to learn the language, and we're going to have to analyze the language. And after we're done analyzing the language, we'll start translating, and we'll work on teaching them to read the language. So what we've done is over these past two summers, we've spent with Wycliffe Bible Translators studying with them so that we would be able to better be equipped to do that. We do things like we learn all of the known sounds in all of the known languages in all of the world so that you are better able to recognize them when you hear them. Because if you hear a word like bege or kurtz, you have to know how to say that, and you have to know how to be able to write that down. We really don't know. You never know where you're going to end up or what you're going to have to learn. And from there, we'll end up having to create a writing system, and then we'll go into translation. So that's just a little bit about what goes into the beginning stages of translation, and what our first few years are going to look like is going to be a lot of language learning. So there's over 4,500 different people groups, and out of those, why do we feel God is leading us to Chad? Well, who knows anything about Chad is the first question. Chad is right in the middle of Africa, smack in the middle. It is split into three regions. Go ahead, Chris. If you go north of that line, it's pretty much the Sahara. In the middle of that line is kind of the savanna, like the Lion King kind of area. And then south of that, as you go further south, you get to the jungle. So go ahead. There's the desert. Those are camels. We're hoping to go to a people group called the Tama, and they're actually spread out over a 250-mile radius. And go ahead, they're on the east side of the country, and they just typical work for the Tama is they're just shepherds. Most people will live in a grass mud hut. That's very, very typical. This is a Tama man in typical Chadian dress. The women wear very bright colors. You can't see it quite as well up on the screen here. But they're really just subsistence workers. That's what they're doing. And so our main goal, as Pastor Randy said, is to work with translation and literacy. But that's our specific goal. As an overarching theme, we're there to plant a church, and we're there not to just plant a church and then leave, but we're there to have a church that is indigenous-led from the very beginning, and will be planting other churches and self-sustaining and self-reproducing. So people have asked us, how long is this going to take? Well, the truth is we don't know. But as a vision for our team, what we would like to see is we'd like to see one church plant a second church. Go ahead. And then a second church plant a third church. And then that first church plant another second church. Because as you look at the third church, and you're able to see how much has really sunk in from that first church. Because all of our dealings will be just with discipling and teaching the leaders from that very first church. So that's a little quick overview of our ministry. We would love to share more with you. We'll be out in the lobby area. And if you would like to receive our newsletter or would like to talk to us about financial or prayer support, we would love to speak to you about that. I do have, before I go, there is just a quick video about the people group we're going to and a little bit more specific about our team. So go ahead, Chris.
What can take a dying man and raise him up to life again? What can heal the wounded soul? What can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? What can mend our brokenness? Brokenness. And mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. What restores our faith in God? What reveals the Father's love? What can lead the wayward home? What can melt a heart of stone? What can free guilty ones? What can save and overcome?
Thanks, both of you. Why don't we stand? Stony Creek Church has a lot of different missionaries that we're supporting right now and a lot of great mission projects. But we saw this as a great need and a great opportunity. And so we have pledged an initial $1,000 for the support of Dave and Alex to go over there with little Andrew to Chad and start on this great work to reach these people with the gospel and the Word of God. What a great thing to do. But maybe you would like to help in a personal way with them, support, prayer. Please stick around afterward, introduce yourself, let them know you're praying for them, and there's contact information back there that you can get and find out more about their ministry. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you on this Thanksgiving weekend for Jesus, who died on the cross, paying the penalty that we so richly deserved for our sins. He paid it in our place. And then, after being buried, he was raised gloriously, bodily from the dead, never to die again. He lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And we look forward to his return when he will come to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We thank you for these great realities, these great truths. And Lord, we thank you for Dave and Alex as they're going out on this mission to bring the Word of God to people who've never heard these great truths. Bless them, watch over them, strengthen them, and use them, Father, as your ministers of the good news to these folks without the light. And bring that light to them so that many will be saved. And Lord, there will be even a greater harvest when Jesus Christ returns. Father, thank you for this time of celebration that we've had today. And I ask your blessing on every person and on this church collectively. In Jesus' name, amen.